Welcome back to Bash University Live here at ICAST 2018. Man, we've talked to a lot of great people telling a lot of great stories and lies, and I know more are probably to come with my next guest, the great Gene Gilliland, the conservation director for the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. Great to have you with us, Gene.
Thank you, Pete. And as I was thinking about this earlier and the kind of topics and the things you all are talking about earlier, I think about Monty Python, you know, that great line. And now for something completely different.
we're getting serious? Is that what we got going on? Well, I think we should, you know, and there's a lot going on, you know, in environmental conservation. Honestly, bass fishermen as a group, I think, are really good stewards of the environment. I think that's true. And I certainly know that the Bass University group and students are interested in protecting our waterways for the future and interested in getting behind a lot of these causes. Right. So I think we've got a great group here.
Well, the real key is getting people motivated to do something. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, anglers in general tend to be more reactive than proactive. They wait till something bad happens before they want to get involved. And in a lot of cases, we're at a stage where if we could get people motivated ahead of time and get in front of these problems, mm-hmm. then we'd be a lot further on. Because it's a whole lot easier and cheaper to prevent things from happening than it is to fix them after things have gone south on us.
Right.
And that's kind of the way we are in a lot of the environmental and the conservation issues that we face right now. Is that there are things coming at us that we really need to be getting ahead of.
Right.
And motivating fishermen, bass anglers especially, to do something, whether it's, you know, write your congressman or get involved on a local level with the local politics. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of it is politics. And people just, they don't like that kind of stuff. So that's a big part of it, is just getting people kind of past that fear of getting involved and really making a difference.
Well, what's coming down the pike? What can we get? What can we tell people to get ready for, help us prevent, or get active on right now?
Well, you know, we've talked a lot over the past several months about things that are going on in saltwater with this Modern Fish Act. It's a big push right now in all the fishing industry. A lot of the things that are a problem in saltwater, I think, are going to hit us in freshwater, too. Access is a big problem.
It's a problem in my neighborhood right now.
Yeah, there's getting to be more and more places where you can't go.
Right.
There are places where homeowners associations are buying the property up around lakes so that there is no public access to public water. And we're seeing more and more of that around the country.
You know what they're doing on Lake Apaca, which is a great lake, and then they're doing the same type of thing. They're genius. They get these motion detector sprinkler systems on their docks. So when you go up to fish their docks, it kicks on the sprinkler system and soaks the whole boat.
Wow.
What a treat. And yeah. we have lakes like Lake Candlewood up in Connecticut,
yep.
Where we have limited, you can't launch your boat till 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, limited access, yep. A lot of that stuff.
Well, Candlewood, you mentioned that, Mike. Our Bass Nation Conservation Director, Dean Rustic, had a meeting yesterday with some of the powers that be with Connecticut DEEP, the state fish and wildlife people, to talk about some of those access issues and some things like some of the weed control, and there's a bunch of stuff that's going on there. And that's what it takes, is you've got to have somebody that's willing to get in there and talk to the people that have the authority over the lakes and try to make sure that, as my predecessors used to always say, we got to have a seat at the table. Because if the bass fishermen just sort of sit back and let things happen, chances are what happens is going to be bad.
Mm.
If you don't get in there and aren't part of the negotiations to begin with, make sure that as stakeholders of that resource, that it doesn't all go one way or the other, that we have a voice in in that resource. And that's something that a lot of fishermen just, you know, they just want to fish. And that's, it's hard to get people motivated to take that step until things go bad. Mm-hmm. And by then, it's hard to fix it.
It's hard to undo. And what is it, the
Modern Fish Act?
Modern Fish Act. And right. That vote's taking place today.
It's supposedly taking place maybe as we speak in Congress. That is a law that they've been trying to pass for several years now that is modernizing federal saltwater fish management, how the federal government manages the marine species like red snapper and tuna and the stuff like that out in the ocean that for decades has been managed for commercial fishing.
Mm-hmm.
We now know that recreational fishing is just about as valuable as the commercial fishing in terms of dollars. And so this vote is to try to get the federal laws changed to put recreational fishing kind of on an even footing with the commercial fishing, give us our due. And it's one of those political footballs that's been passed around back and forth for the past couple, 3 years, and it's finally now, today, there's a pretty good chance it's going to get passed, we hope, if enough people have contacted their senators and representatives to see if it'll get pushed across. And it will go a long way to helping, as it says, modernize the way they manage those marine fish stocks. We don't have a lot of that kind of problem in freshwater, because the state fish and game agencies do that on their own.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of federal involvement. But when you talk about saltwater stuff, when you get out past those state boundaries, that's when the feds get involved. And it has been managed by the National Marine Fisheries Service, which is part of the Department of Commerce. So you can see where it's been kind of leaning towards that commercial fishing for years and years and years. Now we want to get it back to where recreational fishing means something.
And it'll set a precedent.
Yes.
If this passes on the saltwater, you might think it doesn't matter to you as a bass angler, but this, by passing this, is gonna, it's a precedent for us, because this is probably the way that freshwater is going to be treated.
You know, we don't have the commercial fishing battle as much in freshwater, but what this does, I think, is it raises the consciousness, the awareness of a lot of these senators and representatives in Washington that, hey, this recreational fishing is important,
mm-hmm.
and whether it's freshwater or saltwater. And it kind of gets them to thinking more about that, how important it is, so that when things start coming up where it means, are we going to put money here or here or here, that the recreational fishing is something that they'll consider. Perfect example is this Asian carp thing. You know, we've talked about that so many times about how bad it's getting.
Mm-hmm.
And the Asian carp is, the populations are expanding. They're spreading new rivers and stuff. They're finding them in. It's going to take a lot of money to fix that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, get ahead of it so that it doesn't become the kind of problem it is, you know, in some of the other lakes and rivers. And when you're talking about that kind of money, you're talking about congressional action.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get Congress involved, because we're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions in some cases. And we've got to be able to show them that recreational fishing is worth it.
And it seems like it is. ICAST is expanding. The number of participants in fishing, I was just informed, is up again this year.
Right.
So the sport is growing.
Yeah. Yeah. It is the, you know, as the, of course we like to take claim that the high school bass fishing thing is what's fueling all that. But and that's probably part of it, because the demographics are showing that age group is a big part of what's growing.
Oh, wow.
Because
see, we like to take full credit for it at Bass University as well.
There you go. Yeah. But it's a trend now that we're seeing as many fishermen in the fishing population right now as there's been probably in the last 20 years. You know, we hit a bottom, and it's been coming back up. So there's good things on that front, that there are getting to be more people, not only new people coming into the sport, but people that used to fish that
coming
are getting back.
Yes, and, I'm seeing that a
that's,
lot.
That's a big part of it. The biggest challenge that we had, and I heard a seminar here just a while ago, we've got a whole generation of parents that grew up without fishing. So they don't know how to pass that on to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real challenge, is how do you target those people to get them involved in fishing? Well, what we think it is you get the kids involved, and they'll make mom and dad take them.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether they're in the fifth grade or whether they're in high school or whether they're in college, you know, we've got platforms now where somebody gets involved in fishing when they're a little kid, they've got a place to go now. They've got high school fishing programs. They've got college fishing programs. They've got adult stuff. We can graduate them up and keep them involved in the sport their whole life.
Right.
And but we've got that gap in there where there's these young parents that they don't know anything about the sport.
Sure.
And so we've got to figure out how do we work around that and get them involved and their kids to keep this growth in the sport going.
And I see a lot of really cool stuff like that at Bass University. I see parents, moms and dads, know nothing about fishing, but their son, he's 14, 16, whatever, he's in.
He's ate up with it.
And they will drive to one of our Bass University classes 4 or 5 hours away, and they'll drive and they'll put him in the class.
Yep.
And then, you know, they don't want to attend. They're not that interested, or they're going to shop, and but they're supporting their son,
right,
who's into it, and they're going to pick him up. And I think that's awesome that parents do that. And I'm also, you know, I'm seeing something really cool in the high school fishing tournaments. When I go to the weigh-ins, it's so cool to see the parents and the brothers and sisters.
It's a different atmosphere, isn't it?
Man, they've got their cooler with snacks. They're watching the weigh-in. It's like being at a soccer game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's a good point. It very much is a family event.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've seen it at a lot of our Bass Nation, the high school, the Bassmaster High School programs that we put on the regional tournaments, where you might have 200 some odd boats. You got the two anglers, you got a boat captain, you got mom, you got dad, you got brothers, you got sisters. The numbers of people, mm-hmm, that come and stay in hotels and eat in restaurants, the economic impact from these high school tournaments,
yeah,
is getting to be probably pretty darn close to what it is for an elite tournament.
Wow.
Because that whole family atmosphere that,
sure,
comes along with it.
Yeah.
And one of the really cool things that I've seen with the high school programs, there'll be 5 or 6 kids in a school that decide, we're going to start a bass fishing team. And so they go to the principal or whoever, and they get permission, and they start signing people up. Well, pretty soon they've got 50 kids on that team,
mm-hmm,
that want to get involved in fishing. And what we're seeing is that probably a third, maybe half of those kids that sign up aren't fishermen to begin with. They're brand new to the sport.
Wow.
Because they want to get involved in something that their friends are doing.
Right.
And at some point, they become fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we're seeing a lot of that growth. And hopefully that'll continue over the next several years, and we'll, you know, continue to fuel this industry.
Well, and hats off. We see that too. And I talk to a lot of the high school coaches, college coaches, and you see one of the biggest problems that they're running into is fishing gear. Kids want to get involved, but they you know, get a little intimidated when they see the kids that have already been there a while that have 5 rods and reels and big tackle packs and all this other stuff. And hats off to the Ike Foundation, who is putting rods and reels into kids' hands and helping them get fishing. But I see a lot of coaches working at that, you know, trying to create, you know, equipment, mm-hmm, supplies, so that, you know, kids that want to try it,
right,
don't have to go out and spend $1,000 just to get on the water.
Right.
You know.
Right. That's very true, and it's, you know, for a lot of it, you know, having enough boats to get a lot of, you know, we've got a lot of these high school teams. They've got way more kids than they've got boats.
Right.
And getting enough boats out so that you can get all those kids out on the water is always a challenge. Across the country, that's one of the things we hear from our Bass Nation youth directors is keeping, you know, qualified, trustworthy boat captains that you can get all these kids out with. And then the issue of equipment, like you said, is something that, of course, the kids see things on TV or on the internet, and immediately they want the biggest and best and baddest stuff that's out there. But those parents that have never fished are like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I'm not spending $500 on a rod and reel. You know, but I think the industry is really starting to respond now. One of the things you go around this show, you'll see, there's a lot of really good quality tackle that doesn't cost a lot of money.
Sure.
And it's that's the kind of stuff, that entry level stuff. You know, most of these kids may be past the Zebco 202 stage, although that's pretty much how everybody gets started is with the push button reels.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. You got to get them started somewhere, but then they graduate up into better quality tackle. But there's a lot of the companies now that I think are starting to realize that it doesn't have to be terribly expensive. Once you get those kids involved and you get them to be customers and they get hooked, they become more avid, they'll move up the scale,
right?
You know, as they grow. And their parents, I think, you know, like you were talking about the parents driving the kids all around, to events. I'll give you a good example. I guess it was last year at our high school national championship, we had a parent, a dad, that brought his two kids from, I can't remember, some Midwestern state. And they got there. They had a 17-foot tracker, aluminum boat with a 40-horse motor. And they get there, and here's all these Nitros and Phoenixes and Tritons and Basscats and Rangers and the, you know, $70,000, $80,000 boats. And they're like, wow, they felt really undergunned.
Right.
But they're going to try to compete in this national championship. Dad went up the boat, got the checkbook out, and bought a $70,000 Phoenix. Just like that. For those kids.
No kidding.
You know, he did that.
Wow.
For those kids. And so you hear things like that, and you think, It's no different than if those kids were in soccer or little league baseball or whatever, you know, activity.
Yep.
The parents want to support them.
Yeah.
And that's great. You know, we're all about trying to get that, make those connections that keep that thing going.
Yeah. And they will go to that level of effort. And honestly, that 40 horsepower motor is more than competitive. And, you know, and I'm appreciative of the companies, the rod companies and the reel companies, that a lot of the starting lineup is very affordable.
Yep.
And it's so much more advanced than the stuff that I was starting out with.
Yeah.
And I always recommend, you know, if you've got a budget, I'd rather see you buy five rods and reels that are less expensive than one really high dollar rod and reel. This is going to give you versatility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a crankbait rod, a flipping rod, a Carolina rig rod, whichever it may be,
right,
versus one really, really good crankbait rod. You know, as a beginning angler, having that versatility is key.
Yep.
But no, that's it's great to see what's happening in the movement, and we're all behind it. We have high school programs to help kids get involved with the Bass University, give the discounts to the teams and the kids and college as well, and we're behind it. What else we are behind is the Pitch It campaign.
Yeah.
And that's a great campaign that, you know, we want to invite everybody to go take the Pitch It pledge, make sure all your soft plastics. I didn't realize how many soft plastics I threw in the water, honestly. I mean, and I'm pretty, you know, environmentally conscious. I worked in the environmental field before I did this, and I still would unconsciously just chuck it in the lake, and I didn't realize I was doing it until the Pitch It campaign came along and told me that, man, this stuff really adds up. We need to get it in the recycling bin or the trash can.
Yep, we had This last year, the program, in cooperation with the Bass Nation, collected some, I can't remember, it's like 1,600 pounds of plastics. And if you think about how much one little plastic worm weighs,
right?
And when you're talking about 1,600 pounds of this stuff, that's a big, big pile of plastic.
No doubt.
That didn't go in the lake somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We are probably, maybe in the next couple of weeks, going to roll out the new incarnation of the Pitch It program, at least how Keep America Fishing will be working with the Bass Nation.
Right.
And they have some sponsors that we're going to be working with on. You've seen these plastic, the PVC pipes mm-hmm. that people put monofilament line in.
Right.
We're going to try to get, they've got some grant money available that we're going to make available then to bass clubs to put those up, to put plastics in as well. So, you know, you may go to a boat ramp and there may be two of them, one for monofilament line and one for soft plastics. And that'll give people a place to put the stuff.
Right.
Instead of throwing it in the trash where it goes to a dump somewhere.
Right.
We can, you know, we'll have local clubs that'll collect that line and those lures and hopefully go through some sort of recycling process to dispose of it properly so it doesn't go in the trash.
I think that's awesome, and we're certainly all going to participate in it, and we invite all our viewers at Bass University TV to do that as well. A lot of great stuff going on. Is there any other pressing matter that we need desperately to tell the folks watching from the environmental perspective?
You know, right now, the thing that's the hot button issue, at least in freshwater, is this Asian carp thing that I mentioned a mm-hmm. minute ago. There, we finally are getting some traction with Congress on getting some real money put into the program. And there's two fronts, if you want to call it. One of them is trying to keep the carp out of the Great Lakes, and the other one is now the Tennessee River, Kentucky Lake, mm-hmm. Pickwick, and on upstream. And so there's movement right now with different senators, different representatives, to see what we can do about getting real dollars aimed at trying to do something to protect the Great Lakes, to prevent the Asian carp from getting up there, and then see what we can do to manage the carp that are coming in to the Tennessee River and moving upstream, because it's all locks and dams and, you know, it's yeah. navigation, so they can migrate all the way to Gunnersville, mm-hmm. for that matter. And I think probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a month, there's going to be some big news about the legislation and some things happening on that front. So I'll keep you guys posted so that you can, you know, get all your viewers lined out on that. It's going to be another one of those write your congressman kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that really directly can affect bass fishing. It's not some kind of abstract thing that
we're seeing it at Kentucky Lake.
Yes.
You know, the bass population has declined dramatically. The bait fish population has declined. At least it appears as such based yeah. on what the guys are catching.
Well, a lot of the bait fish issue is they had a super hard winter this past year. But the biologists up there tell me that in Kentucky Lake, we're right at the tipping point, that the Asian carp population has gotten to a point where if it gets much bigger, we're going to start seeing impacts to the sport fish and the forage fish. They think they've got a plan, the state of Kentucky and the state of Tennessee, they think they've got a plan how they think they can reduce and manage. We're never going to get rid of them, but we can manage it so that we don't see these impacts on the sport fish populations. But we're talking $50 million to make this thing work. The plan to prevent them from going in the Great Lakes,
mm-hmm.
$275 million.
What?
So, you know, that's why I say these are expensive programs, and that's congressional kind of money.
Yeah.
And that's where we've got to get people motivated to write your congressman. And we'll let you guys know when those things hit the floor of the Congress, and, you know, there's one of those things where we can tell people you need to call your congressman and tell them to support, you know, House Bill number XYZ.
Excellent.
But hopefully that's coming in the next few weeks.
Well, keep us in the loop. I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. And no, I appreciate you doing the job that you do.
Thank you.
And keeping us informed and helping us all be a little bit more environmentally conscious. So check that out. Don't forget, guys, take that Pitch It pledge. Get your soft plastics in a trash can or recycling bin. Let's keep them out of our waterway. And we are going to be right back with
Joe Ofinger.
We're going to be talking the FLW. Okay. They're announcing their schedule tomorrow, and we're gonna give us a preview. We're gonna break the news right now.
Yes.
We're going to get the schedule live on Bass University TV. We're going to get it out of them, right, BTC?
That's right. Damn right.
And we'll be right back in just a few minutes. Pete Kluzak, Bass University.